Mark in the Morning comes to you from the studios of 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. In Southern California, hear it happen live without a net from 6 to 10 a.m. Weekdays on 100.3 FM.
I'm playing this for Jackie. Jackie, who loves classic rock, will periodically share with me a song that she has just heard and fallen in love with. Yesterday, it was Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs, which I eventually will get for her and play. All right, today, a lot of show, as always. Question, how much sex a week makes for happy? There is a definitive answer. What percentage of newlyweds have sex on their wedding night? I'll give you that percentage. Something super great happened on a New York subway, and I have it for you. What is it about White Castle burgers that makes that more important than your job?
Oh, God, no idea.
Have you ever had a White Castle? Because I have.
I grew up with them, and they're the worst.
Now, the equivalent in the South is Crystal burgers.
Little mini teeny tiny burgers?
Yeah. Yes. They're mostly bread, and they're square.
Yeah.
And they come in little boxes.
Do they also? Can you also get them at vending machines like you can get White Castle here?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah, it's rough.
Yeah. Stop at Crystal, though, is pretty fantastic, because where else can you order 12 Crystal burgers and one fry?
Well, I will say in that case, they were the first cool sliders before sliders were cool.
Today we speak with the lead singer of Loverboy, Mike Reno. We have a Jackie's Throwback Thursday. I'm going to share my relationship with my father. Andy Chanley is going to join us, and I've done something. I wrote a Father's Day PSA. It's just a quick comedy bit, but I'm not going to let Andy read it ahead of time. He's going to turn it over when we do it. It'll be Andy and I doing it. It is the Father's Day PSA. Got a story about a hitchhiker. Five reasons today that makes it not suck.
Oh, that's good.
All of it coming your way. This is Mark in the Morning.
I can show you the world.
According to this story, Disney is acting like it's in damage control. They have faced an ugly backlash after a toddler was snatched by an alligator and drowned. The tragedy might have been avoided. Families felt like their trip to Disney World was ruined. Vacationers at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa will get their rooms comped. Free overnight stays as compensation for the disruption to their vacation. TMZ reports that parents complain that parts of the resort and spa were on lockdown as officials search for the two-year-old victim, and afterward they were hunting for the guilty gator.
We're going to continue to evaluate the evidence we have, and we're going to try to continue searching. We're going to make certain that we have the alligator that was involved and that we remove it. We remove it from the lake.
Now, the one thing that for me, did Disney know there were alligators in this area?
From what I understand, they would periodically go out searching for gators and get rid of them. So it's a gigantic lagoon that empties out into another gigantic lagoon. So yes, I think they are aware, and they would periodically go in and clear out the lagoon, quote unquote. And there are signs saying no swimming, but they're hoping they get more specific. No swimming, alligators, no setting foot in the water, no nothing.
Okay.
So the signs maybe could have been more specific, they're thinking.
Well, I mean, we have stayed in the Grand Floridian.
It's supposed to be beautiful. It's like the Mary Poppins Hotel.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. No, it's absolutely great, but it's just, you know, I mean, I didn't know what the thing was, but if there are alligators, I would like to know that.
Yeah, and do you remember being by the lagoon, or do you remember seeing the lagoon?
Linda remembers it. We were there, standing on the beach.
There's actually a picture of it up right now. Yeah, and nothing. I don't know how long ago it was. Do you remember any signage?
No, okay. No. But it's been 15 years.
Yeah,
and oddly enough, we went. In March, we went to the Grand Floridian, and this was our week-long vacation in March. And we get there, and it is uncharacteristically freezing in March in Florida. And the problem is, because it's hot all the time, Florida, the Walt Disney World, they don't sell coats. They don't have coats. So we had to go buy sweatshirts, 2 and 3 of them for each one of us, and we bought socks to wear as gloves. Because I explained to everybody, I said, look, we're here. The money has already been spent. Shut up, get your ass up, and we're going to do Disney World.
Did you look like a mega nerd tourist with like 18 Disney sweatshirts on each?
My people were so pissed off at me because, look, I'm a parent. We're there. Yeah. The money's gone. So I'm not going to sit in the room, put the crap on, shut your mouth, and get up, and let's go get Disney-fied.
I like the way you think.
It's just this way it's got to be.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And it was, and then Linda came down with the flu. Like, what? It's my fault.
Oh my God.
I felt really bad about it. I really didn't. Okay, it's happening. The morning session of the Stairway to Heaven plagiarism trial saw 2 original members of Spirit testify at the Edward R. Royal Building in downtown L.A. The jury has to decide whether the opening section of Stairway to Heaven infringed upon the Spirit song Taurus. Attorney Francis Mailfly is looking to establish that Led Zeppelin and Spirit knew each other, crossed paths on the road, and even spent time together. Just before lunch, the prosecution presented versions of Stairway to Heaven and Taurus, not played by Led Zeppelin and Spirit, which Andy's attempted to identify for the jury.
Oh, smart.
Jimmy Page also testified in the afternoon. The attorney was prevented from asking Page to compare the guitar parts on the original recordings of Taurus and Stairway to Heaven because the only evidence admissible at this trial is what's known as the deposit copy, a sheet music transcription of the song that's kept in the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C.
Ooh.
Now, Linda and I were talking about it. Linda thinks that Zeppelin's going to go down for this.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and since it's the estate suing and not an actual person because he passed away, I'm thinking, wait, is this just a plea for, you know, some money-hungry family members from Spirit all of a sudden now going after these big rich guys? But then I read that, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the guy who passed away from Spirit, but he could never afford to sue Led Zeppelin. So now
that's
they're
what I heard.
Sort of doing this in his honor, so this will be very interesting.
Well, I thought jury selection would take a lot longer, but it didn't. It's already going, and they're going to be back in that room today.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do, and I thought we'd do some comedy, do some of the jokes from last night. Now, Jay Leno made an appearance on Jimmy Fallon, so there's a Jay Leno joke in there as well. And there might be something for our Star Wars, fan, Stephanie, at the very end of this. So here we go.
More problems with Hillary Clinton. You know, Bill has been out campaigning for her, and I don't think he's helping. Like last week in San Diego, Bill stopped to kiss a baby, which is usually okay, except the kid was breastfeeding at the time. So it made it awkward.
Actor Charlie Sheen has announced he will be the official spokesman for a new Swedish brand of condoms, because nothing gets your girlfriend more excited for sex than saying, it's the kind Charlie Sheen uses. Where are you going?
A federal court has upheld rules guaranteeing equal internet access for all. Equal Yeah. It's in keeping with the longstanding American promise of life, liberty, and the pursuit of porn. And I think that's...
A European perfume company has released a series of Star Wars-themed scents called Empire, Jedi, and Amidala. It's the perfect cologne for what is almost certainly your first date.
May the Force be with me.
Stephanie, cologne perfume you're gonna try?
I bet it smells like Anakin Skywalker, Han Solo, and Captain Phasma all in one. Delicious.
There you go. There's your mic TV.
Sit, Boo Boo. Sit. Good dog.
Good. Now, yesterday was Donald Trump's 70th birthday, and we have him on the phone to talk about it. Happy belated birthday, Donald.
Thanks, Mark. And let me tell you, all my friends threw me one hell of a surprise party yesterday. It was a huge celebration. Huge.
Well, that's nice. Who all was there?
Well, all of my closest friends, Mark.
Okay, for example?
Well, there was my dear friend Fred Fredrickson, and of course there was my longtime pal Jimmy Jimerson Jr.
Those names sound made up, Donald.
Well, they're not, because I have lots of friends, lots, who like hanging out with me, lots, like Bartleby Schimmelflimmel and Captain R. Stampy Carruthers, another good friend.
Again, Donald, those names sound fake.
You know what? They're all real, because I have so many friends, because I'm so likable. I'm likable. And all of my friends were there, like Bippy Schlemmenstein. He brought the cake, and it was fantastic, by the way. And Bladrick Gaffenschmoffin Esquire. He got me a nice tie. So thoughtful. And let's not forget about Sparkles T. Willoughby III. So nice of Sparkles to stop by. He or she is one of my favorite people.
Donald, do you not have any friends?
Oh, I have more friends than you could possibly imagine. And they all came to my birthday party, believe me. I definitely didn't sit in my home alone, wishing I hadn't alienated everybody in my life. My buddy Tim Timony Flobbin Tobbin Heffenpfeffer was the DJ. Ain't no party like a Tim Timony Flobbin Tobbin Heffenpfeffer party, because a Tim Timony Flobbin Tobbin Heffenpfeffer party won't stop. What?
All right, Donald, fine, but I'll pretend to believe you when you say your party was a huge hit and you have a bunch of friends, even though most of those friends are clearly made up.
Wow. You know, if my buddy wristwatch wingtip Gray Suitington heard you say that, he'd be furious. Furious.
Are you just turning the things you're wearing into a name?
Look, I don't need this shabby treatment. I gotta go. Me, Schmonald Flump, Gabonald Blump, and Stabonabald Fumpalumpadump have a brunch reservation.
Clearly just different nonsensical variations of your own name.
Lies. Lies. Goodbye,
Donald.
My pillow definitely isn't still damp from my own tears. Trump 2016.
Okay.
Down in Florida.
Listen to this. This is pretty strange, but yet great in some way. A Florida man who entered a stranger's house without any clothes on is likely to leave court without charges because cops don't think he really committed a crime. The homeowner says she was speaking to an officer who had come to her house to discuss a car crashing through a fence and into a bay right outside when the intruder walked into the room they were in fresh from taking a shower. Fort Walton Beach police officer Marcus Montgomery recalled, quote, he said, "Hi, I'm Joe, and I have no idea where I am right now." Joe had been sleeping off a hangover in an upstairs bedroom that the homeowner rarely uses, and he said that he had been out Sunday night celebrating the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup. He explained that he had no recollection of crashing his car or taking off his clothes, which were found drying on a fence near the wreck site. There were no signs of forced entry, and nothing was taken from the home. The officer said, quote, I didn't observe him drunk driving. The only thing that I could charge him with was trespassing, but that's a misdemeanor.
Wait a second. Mm-hmm. With all of that information, with him admitting he was sleeping off a Penguins celebration, they can't charge him with a DUI?
No.
Because at this point?
They didn't see him driving drunk. He
wow.
said he did. Yeah, he said he did. But the officer didn't see it.
Huh.
So he's plastered, wrecks his car, gets out of the car, takes off his clothes, walks into the house, goes to bed upstairs, sleeps it off, gets up and showers, and then walks it in and says, hi, I'm Joe, and I have no idea where I am right now.
Only in Florida.
Are you sitting there right now thinking to yourself, I don't know what's happening in the world. What's going on in the world? Gina Grad watches that so you don't have to. Gina.
Oh, may I take it away? That was fantastic. Thank you. Well, a filibuster ended almost 15 hours after it started yesterday as Senate Democrats won the chance to vote on a new gun control measure in the wake of the Orlando attack. The Senator Chris Murphy, who started this, I watched a lot of it. It was fascinating. You know what a filibuster is, Mark?
Not really.
It's basically when... Layman term. So somebody gets up and won't release control back to the meeting.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, starring Jimmy Stewart.
There you go. So he had a lot of help, and he would say, "I'm going to ask so and so a question without releasing my right to continue to stand up here." So he had a little help, but he stood there for 15 hours.
Wow.
It was really, really crazy. Almost looked like performance art. Whole Foods is in a bit of trouble on a long list of problems. FDA inspectors said they found foods like pesto pasta and mushroom quesadillas being prepared or stored in places where condensation was dripping from the ceilings. Oh, God. Steer clear of the quesadillas. And here's what's trending in sports. The Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks at Chase Field yesterday, 3-2. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, we speak to Lover Boy's Mike Reno. You know you love working for the weekend. But first, Giles. This is Mark in the Morning.
Oh, do I go now?
Yeah,
now is when I go.
Is he allowed, Mikey?
Yeah, you can go now.
Wait till the last whistle. You know what's in my butt? A whistle. Why don't you go digging for it? All right, Gina, I think you're going to like this. Ian Breholz had pulled over his pickup truck to sift through some garbage by the side of the road, leading a homeowner to lodge a complaint. Officers responded to the scene. They tracked the 31-year-old to the vehicle, where they found a bag of unlicensed medical marijuana and a gun, which the guy isn't allowed to own due to his criminal record. But the most surprising find was a box containing several baby squirrels, which the suspect says he rescued from a dumpster diving expedition. Arresting officer said it appeared that he was nursing the animals back to health and noted, quote, "That's his good side coming out."
All is forgiven?
Well, so there's the whole thing about the gun,
yeah,
and he's on probation.
No, that's a problem, I know. But he did a good thing.
He did. He was nursing the baby squirrels back to health.
Oh, it's so hard to be mad at him.
Now, I don't know why I thought of this last night, and I think I know the answer to it. Gina.
Yeah?
Have you ever seen the movie To Kill a Mockingbird?
Oh, of course.
You have?
Yes.
Okay, good. I was worried because that movie is not only is it one of the greatest novels ever written, it's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Agreed.
The acting, the direction, and I don't know what the actor's name that was the accused in the trial.
Oh, yeah.
Performance that he gave is remarkable.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in years, but I remember the first time I saw it, I was a little kid, and I was scared of Boo Radley.
Oh, yeah, which was...
I guess we were supposed to be.
So anyway, if you've never seen it, seek it out, because it is a classic for a good reason. Now, if they could do some research and find out which song has been played the most on Friday afternoons, it would be this one. I mean, when I was working pop radio, every Friday at 3 p.m., I would roll this and scream at the top of my lungs.
Everyone's watching.
And the gentleman who sings this joins us now, Mike Reno. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, gang. That sounds great.
Dude, I am such a fan of Loverboy. Why is that? What is it about your music that I dig?
I think it's just a good high-energy rock and roll with positive lyrics. That's really all we're all about. We like to have fun, and I think you like to have fun, and you like it.
Everybody's working.
Sorry, Mark can't hear you. He's rocking out.
I know, that's cool.
I also love this one. This is bringing in your ballad stuff. Now, Mike is promoting a new Lover
song, by the way.
Oh, this one is your favorite?
Yeah. Now, did you write these, or was it a group thing?
Paul and I wrote most of the songs. Paul's our guitar player. And we sat down and wrote these songs together. In-house keyboard player Doug wrote some songs here and there. Paul and I were the main writers.
Listen to this.
No surprise, it's always the same.
Now, Loverboy's got a new single called Hurtin'. It's available now at Spotify.com and Loverboyband.com. And the U.S. tour, including three dates with Rick Springfield. Tour dates and tickets available at Loverboyband.com. Oh, they're at the Greek on the 16th of July. That is the greatest venue.
Fun.
What is it like to stand on that stage and look out over a summer night at a crowd that's loving what you're doing?
You know, that's probably one of my, people ask me, what's one of your favorite places to play? And a lot of times I tell them it's the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. It's a perfect place for a concert, especially if it's a nice warm summer night. I agree with you, man. I'm into it.
All right, let's enjoy this one. Yes! Oh, I love it too much. So check it out. It is July 16th. If you're fortunate enough to be in Southern California, the Greek Theater with Loverboy. Listen, Mike, the very best. I can't wait to hear the new stuff, and I'll see you in July at the Greek.
Sounds great, Mark. And thanks, guys, for talking to me.
All right, so stupid old Jackie, who answers phones for us, she's our switchboarder. She does Jackie's Throwback Thursday, and she sits in there, and she rehearses this for 45 minutes,
God,
and she
Mark,
still screws it up. So, Jackie,
intro.
You ready?
Yeah.
Jackie's Throwback Thursday!
Okay, first of all, I just want to say a good morning that is Katie-inspired. Good morning! She always says that. So anyways, okay. So good morning. Let's get down to business. I was really inspired by Christian Hands' Bob Seger's breakdown yesterday. It just reminded me of how much I love that raspy voice. So I decided to go with one of my personal favorites from Bob. And this song in particular was also inspired by singer, songwriter, and author Leonard Cohen, who wrote a book called Beautiful Loser, which is where Bob Seger found his inspiration to write about people who are okay with being losers. So here's Bob Seger with Beautiful Loser on Jackie's Throwback Thursday.
Police in New Haven, Connecticut have a penis problem. Officers are on the hunt for a guy who's been going around town spray painting penises on walls and buildings and was recently captured on surveillance camera. Actually, he was seen spray painting the surveillance camera itself. If there are any doubts as to what the paintings are of, he writes the word penis next to them.
I have a pun.
Do it.
I can't.
Is it too dirty?
Yeah. Maybe I'll Facebook Live a couple of penis puns for anybody who's interested.
All right. Well, if in the next little bit, if one comes to you that you can say, just say it.
Just throw it out no matter what's happening.
Now, I've made this observation before, and it needs to be repeated because it's absolutely true. I've been married to Linda 34 years. We dated for a year. So 35 years we've known each other. And what happens to long-term relationships is that you become chimpanzees. I'll be standing in the kitchen and we're talking. And while I'm talking, she will reach up and groom me. She will pull hair off my shirt a little bit. I'll do the same thing. We have become chimps.
Yeah, I totally do that to Tim too. Only now he doesn't fight it anymore. You know, now go, just sit down. I just want to get something. Just get it. I got it.
Yeah, and the other thing is, which is odd, is that in relation... Oh, I'll come back to that. Call right now, 888-696-1003 for 5 seconds for $20. In relationships, you wind up doing things that you never thought you would do. Like, I need you to come look at something, and it'll be in the worst possible place. And you wind up doing things that you never thought you would do with your significant other. Can you relate, Gina?
Yes. I've never asked anyone to look at anything on me, but I am curious what kind of spelunking poor Linda's had to do in your name.
I'll give you one, and all I'm going to do, I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to show you the position I had to get in for her to look at this thing on me. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm standing up.
There he goes.
And I'm getting
He's
in position.
Up. He is. Oh no!
Oh, no!
A leg is on the desk, and he is giving me the 21 bun salute. Poor Linda.
Hey, you do what you do, man.
Did the problem get solved?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, she took care of business.
Oh man.
if you know what I'm saying. All right.
I don't.
Kim, Khloe, and Kourtney Kardashian, along with Kylie and Kendall, are being sued by the Agency for the Performing Arts, a company that claims it was supposed to get a 15% cut of deals it made for clothing, footwear, accessories, and hair products. Here's the clincher. The executives say that the family pulled the plug on the verbal agreement without warning, and they owe them millions. Verbal?
Yeah.
Are you high?
Gotta get it in writing.
So I'm supposed to believe you that they agreed with you to do this and you don't have a contract?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You're screwed.
Whose advice was it? Was it Steve Miller's advice? His advice to all musicians? What was it?
Steve Miller was on the Mark and Maron program, and somebody called and said, I'm a young musician. What is your advice? And he said one thing. Own what you create. Own it. Nobody else has the right to have. And look, I get it. These young bands, when they're fresh and they get an offer from a record company, they don't even read it. They just sign it.
Yeah.
And they're signing their career away.
Yeah.
How many times have we heard the story of a band or an artist who came to a point in their career where they realized they had no money, and they look at the contract and they realized they don't own anything. They haven't even been rightfully paid for what they did.
Yep. And we hear that all the time. And we're going to actually talk to a former rapper and a comedian, Jensen Karp, in I think it's 720. And he has a story about how somebody literally came with a briefcase of cash of $50,000 and said, here, I want you to take this. This is your signing bonus. Let's start. Never seen that much money in his whole life, but he said, I can't. I've heard too many stories. So we can talk about that with him.
Whenever somebody walks up to me, a young radio person, and they look up and they ask me for advice, the one thing I say is find a great attorney to represent you. It truly is the one thing that I did correctly at a very early age. And it still to this day is the best move I ever made.
So if a young person asks you anything, your first advice isn't follow your dreams, never give up, hold on to that shooting star.
Who gives a crap about that crap?
Okay.
Get a great attorney.
Papa loves mambo. Mama loves mambo.
Now, if you have not gotten your father that perfect gift for Father's Day, then there's this. Boeing is manufacturing an epic 787 jumbo jet for a private owner, except it doesn't have an owner yet, which means it's still available for the taking. The custom-made jet has a luxury interior including sofas, comfortable chairs, beds, and refrigerators. Take a guess how much, Gina.
Well, you said beds, plural, so, I have no idea. I'll say $1.5 million.
How? We're talking about a Boeing 787 jumbo jet, and you said $1.5 million?
$1.6 million?
$150 million.
Whoa. Oh my God.
Do you not love your father or what?
I do, I'm just really bad at math.
5 seconds for $20.
What was that television show that Regis did?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That's the one. This is bigger than that.
Is it?
Yes.
So they can phone a friend?
Look, I'm telling you to go to a water cooler and just listen to what people are talking about. They're talking about 5 seconds for $20.
Okay.
It has swept the radio world. And I figure if I keep saying this, it may come true. Because out of all the mail I get, nobody brings it up. Come on, people. Come on. You got to get in love with what's hot.
Yeah.
And 5 seconds for $20 is hot. All right. Let's go to David. He's calling from L.A. Good morning, David.
Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Just enjoying the sound.
So what do you do for a living, David?
I'm a contractor. I'm a concrete contractor.
Ooh. Now, does that mean you drive the truck that's churning all the time?
No, I'm the guy that does the work at your house when you want all that really nice decorative hardscape, you know, like the rock work, and
ooh.
I'm that guy.
It's pretty cool because I love the way that if you're going to pour concrete, you have to build wood onto the ground and you put spikes in the ground and that's where you pour the concrete. That looks like the hardest part.
You know, I've been doing this for 40 years and actually I don't really work anymore. I have good men that work for me, so it makes my life real easy.
How old are you?
You know, I've been doing it for 40 years. I am 58.
58. You'll be dead in like 5 years,
oh
right?
Oh my God, Mark.
Yeah, me and you'll be sharing a...
There you go. There you go, David. Yes.
So are you married with kids?
Yeah, I've been married. Actually, we celebrated 33 years Saturday.
Good for you.
We have three kids.
How old are they?
27, 24, and 22.
Dude, you and I are almost in the exact same spot in life.
Oh, I'll tell you, I've been listening to you. I knew when you had Matt and Katie and Amy. I grew up and we were having kids at the same time, so... All that means is we're both banging at the same time.
Now, David, I'm assuming that you're like every other person that calls this stupid show. You have grandkids, don't you?
You know, I don't. And I'm kind of wanting some because I think I'd be a great grandpa.
There's no question about it. I can tell already just by talking to you. All right, David, you know how this game works. I'm going to ask you a question. You have 5 seconds to answer it. If you answer it, you get $20. If you
I may be able to retire.
And if you don't, then tomorrow's question is worth $25.
Okay, let me have it.
How many sides does a square-based pyramid have?
Five, four sides, Mark. Three,
two, one. You know, I didn't realize, David, by the conversation we've had, I didn't realize at that moment that you're a stupid man. No, the answer... The correct answer, David, is 5 sides.
Wait a second.
Well, then that doesn't make it a square.
I agree with you.
Wait, that doesn't make any sense.
Danny.
I know.
Hold on. Getting the producer in here.
All right, we're moving to the one who provided the thing. Danny, question. How many sides does a square-based pyramid have? The answer is 5.
Yes.
Why is that?
Yes, because there's 5 sides to a square-based pyramid. The bottom of the pyramid is one side.
Right.
And you have the walls to make up the pyramid. That's 4 sides right there. 4 plus 1.
Wait, 4?
Wow, yeah, he's saying...
You have a square, people. One, draw a square.
Two. No, we got that part. One,
but the base side of the square has a wall.
The base Danny's is wrong. A side.
One,
well, no, there right. are... Wait.
I can't do this in abstract. I need to see a pyramid. Let's
go to Cairo.
A square
has 4 sides. Those are the 4 walls right there of the pyramid. The square is the floor, the fifth side.
We're dumb, Dave.
You're all dumb.
Well, let me tell you this. A pyramid comes up to a point, like a triangle.
True.
I can see. I understand where Danny's coming from, but I think he's wrong.
I agree with everything you just said.
David, I love you, brother. Feel free to call me back anytime, and I appreciate you listening all these many years.
You know, brother, I've been listening for a long time, and I love you guys. I was so happy when you came back, and just you guys make my day. So thank you very much.
And now, it's time for You Hate to Hear It. We've all experienced that scary moment when you're driving and a spider lands on your leg or an insect starts flying around inside your car. That's nothing compared to the terrifying vehicle intruder that one Arkansas woman recently experienced. Kelly Swisher was driving on the highway when a 5-foot snake crawled out of her dashboard and onto her feet. She says, as soon as it landed on my feet, I felt it. It was rough and scaly as it slithered across my feet. That is nails on a chalkboard kind of scary. She frantically tried to call 911 as she attempted to exit the highway. She was finally able to pull into a parking lot and get out of the car as the snake slithered back into her dashboard. Animal control eventually arrived and removed the snake. Gina, how are you?
I am paralyzed with fear. The fact that she's a hero, by the way, that she was able to find an off-way ramp and find a parking lot and be that cool. I would have shoulder rolled out of the 405. I wouldn't have cared. That is horrible. No, sir.
My parents owned a lake cabin. It was where I fell in love with being near the water. And this was, boy, I mean, the floor of this cabin, you could see the dirt under the house. It was just not really well built. And so there was an inner tube in the closet of one of the bedrooms, and it was up on a top shelf. We're going to go swimming. Mm-hmm. So I go into the bedroom. I open the closet. I grab the inner tube, and I pull it, and I start walking out. I heard a thud. I turned around, and apparently this had crawled up and coiled up inside the inner tube. It was a very poisonous water moccasin.
What did you do?
Ran my ass off. And told my father, you got problems, bitch.
You say it just like that.
All right, so we're about to speak with rapper Jensen Karp. He has a book called Kanye West Owes Me $300, and I'm going to bust out some of his rhymes.
Oh, good. He'll love that.
Can't wait until I'm platinum and drowning in wealth so I can talk about my cash and sound like everybody else. Reckon this, more infectious than asbestos, making heads bob up and down like mother effing Pez dispensers. I'll take your wig and part it in the middle, cause any one of your mizzles ain't effing with hot kizzle. And that for shizzle, obvious, and of course, dangerous like sportin' ice to the next Source Awards. This S word I kick is on a unique level. We now welcome in Jensen Karp. Good morning, Jensen.
Oh, poor Jensen. I hope Jensen was half as good in his prime as that just was, Mark. That was amazing.
Okay guys. So we were having connection issues, but they failed to tell me that he wasn't ready yet. So another 2 minutes.
I just busted out his rap.
I know. You did it so good.
It was for the best. He didn't hear it. Now, we can compare. Mark, we can do a rap battle. You just did yours. Now, we have one of Jensen doing his coming out of retirement, basically, the last 15 years. So, you heard Mark's. Everybody has that on. There was a lot of, whoa, he did what? Woo, yeah. And now we have Jensen's ready.
My book drops in the first week of June, but you could pre-order it to make sure it arrives soon. To hear the story about how I went from average nerd to the greatest white rapper that you probably never heard. To stories about Tyrese and Cisco that are absurd. And Kanye owes me $300, and that's my word. So go to your local bookstore on the day that it drops and get excited like Jared Fogle when he's watching Sandlot. And get excited because you're about to read how I was once on top of the rap game. Then I abruptly stopped.
I don't know. I think it's a toss-up. It was a real photo finish between you and Jensen.
So he was a rapper and he stopped?
Yeah, he was. He looks like, we had him on the Adam Carolla show, very nice guy. He looks just like a typical white, nerdy West Valley guy, little glasses, like Mikey.
Hey.
And he truly had a very promising rap career. He was a rap battle star. He was, like freestyling, sort of making fun of people on the sly. Now I sound like a white person in the valley.
So, Jensen, why is it then that you stopped in the middle of doing that?
Nope, still don't have him.
Where is this guy?
They connected.
Okay.
Maybe he's just freestyling in it.
I'll just leave
himself.
I'll leave the line up.
All right. Good luck to us all. How often do we have sex that makes us happy? There is a definitive answer. Canadian researchers studied more than 30,000 adults in hopes of figuring out just how much sex is needed in order to be happy. They concluded that both men and women, young and old, should have sex at least once a week for maximum happiness. Not surprisingly, scientists who also found that having infrequent sex, less than once a week, leads to a drastic decline in happiness.
How say you, Mark?
I will say at least once a week. But here up in my fishizzle, we're banging boots every 3 days.
every 3 days.
Yep.
So let's see, Sunday, Wednesday. Wow.
Yeah, a couple of times a week.
Yeah,
when things are good.
When you said once a week, my first thought was that's not going to be enough for you. You're going to think that's a dry spell.
I do need more than just once a week. I need it every 3 days.
Okay.
And we discussed it. We talked about it. Yeah. She's fine with that. It's good to go, and it works for us.
What if she's just like,
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, we'll put it off to another time. But there are times when, let's say we had it on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, she'll come knocking on Mark's door on Tuesday. And it sounds like this. Is Daddy home?
Oh, no, it doesn't. You are so full of it. Oh, my God.
All right, let's try again. Jensen, are you there? This is really, really good. Because this is his window.
Yeah.
I don't have another one.
No.
This is it.
We got to move
He's got two. No, he's got 1 minute.
And should we just sit here in silence and see what happens?
Sure.
Jensen? One on one.
I have a cowbell. I have a triangle. I have maracas. I mean, what do you want? I could help in any way you want.
Exactly 60 seconds, and then we won't hear from Jensen. Jensen?
Jensen?
We call up Rebel when we got some fights we want settled, beating them till they can't hear like Haley Berry. You try hard, but you still F it up like Daryl Strawberry. Rip you apart, so baby, don't start. Driving down Mulholland in a Hummer go-kart. This is Lyric S-word, tough S-word, never soft. HotCarl.com, log on, F off. Don't let me run. Run off at the mouth. Yeah, Mikey, I always appreciate a full second so I can get ready. Thanks. Appreciate that. Let's figure out what's trending in the world. Here's Gina Grant.
Wait. Doesn't the radio god always know since he's the god?
The radio god doesn't need you. I could do this all by myself, but in this particular case, I had about half a second.
Thank you, Mikey.
You're
welcome.
I don't want to get in your way. Are you guys done?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Oscar Pistorius removed his prosthesis in a South African courtroom Wednesday as part of his defense team's argument that the double amputee athlete convicted of murdering his girlfriend is a vulnerable man who deserves leniency when he is sentenced. There's another baby on the way for Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. The couple who married last July already have a 20-month-old daughter named Wyatt Isabel.
Doing some banging.
Yep. Here's what's trending in sports. The Angels beat the pants off the Twins last night at Angel Stadium 10-2. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, 7:35, Mark's going to tell us what Phil Collins really thinks of In the Air tonight in 5 Reasons Today Doesn't Suck. But first, Steeler's Wheel. This is Mark in the Morning.
And now, 5 Reasons Today Doesn't Suck.
1.
It was on this day Phil Collins got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame back in 1999. Phil wrote his first solo single, In the Air Tonight, about the breaking up of his first marriage. But he says that the subject matter may have been the only thing about the song that he really thought about before writing it.
A real spontaneous song. I mean, the way it was written was so haphazard, and yet it's become my signature tune, if you like. The lyrics were spontaneous. They were kind of improvised. The drum fill, which has sort of launched 1,000 drum fills, was such a random choice. I could have done anything. I just happened to do that on that particular tape. People won't let me forget it.
He was on the Mark and Brian program. He did this song on a piano. And when this, I thought this was brilliant. When it came time for the drum solo to come in, he simply stopped playing the piano.
What?
It was the loudest silence you've ever heard. I thought it was brilliant.
Wow, I figure you'd say he'd tap on the piano on the top. Wow. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
2.
A rock music festival that drew hundreds of thousands of young people to a dairy farm in White Lake, New York over the weekend.
It was on this day back in 1970, the producers of Woodstock announced that they lost more than $1 million on the 1969 festival. They hoped to regain their investment from sales of the Woodstock album, movie, and related memorabilia.
3.
It was on this day in 1960, the movie Psycho debuts in New York City.
You understand? I don't hate her. I hate what she's become. I hate the illness.
Wouldn't it?
Four.
Here's what I'm saying, okay? This is a renegotiation. We want more from them, so let's give them more. Let's show them your pure joy of the game. Let's bury the attitude a little bit and show them...
Wait. You're telling me to dance.
No. I'm saying to get back to the guy who first started playing this game. Remember? Way back when you were a kid, it wasn't just about the money, was it? Was it? Was it?
It was on this day in 2006, Tom Cruise tops the annual Forbes Celebrity 100 Power List, becoming the first person ever to top the list twice.
Five.
Today is Fresh Veggie Day. And it was on this day, in 1978, that Grease opened in movie theaters.
How much do you love this movie, Mark?
I do love it. Oh, I absolutely love it. And I'm in fear when I think songs are going to break out. But this was pretty good.
Olivia when she came out at the end in that black unitard.
Dude, there's not a guy alive that wouldn't climb that like a freaking ladder. Holy crap.
Hey, Mark, guess what? You're the one that I want. Honey.
Oh, Mikey, no, you don't like it?
No.
Five Reasons Today Doesn't Suck is brought to you by my friends and buddies at Bristol Farms, your extraordinary food store. In 5 minutes, I'm going to share my tribute to my father. 5 minutes away. So the man that I fell in love with back in 2015, Andrew Chanley, has joined us this morning. Good day, Andy.
Hey, fella. How you doing?
Well, that didn't take long for it to get creepy.
Right back at you.
It is great coming in this early. It is so much easier to park.
Yeah,
it is.
The good old days.
That is the one advantage of coming in early on the show. You got a parking spot.
And I walked down the hall and I walked by the morning show office and I heard Katie Chick on the street say, 10:15 p.m. is at night, right? And I was like, this all came back in a rush.
Well, I wrote up something yesterday called the Father's Day PSA, and it's going to be Andy and I, and it's kind of like a PSA. The only wrinkle to it is that Andy will not be allowed to pre-read. He will turn the sheet over and read it as we're doing it live.
What could possibly go wrong? By the way, I also have a bone to pick with your guest yesterday. At the appropriate time, Swampy Marsh.
Oh, sure.
I'm a little disappointed in him.
Uh-oh.
He does the Phineas and Ferb show.
Right.
Well, I'd never seen it. But I asked Silas, my son, my 5.5-year-old son, if he had seen it. And I asked him yesterday to explain it to me. Mikey, roll the audio.
So, Phineas and Ferb are and they're both and they have a bigger and a it's a lot for the mommy and daddy to take care about.
And you are a father, sir.
Wow. It
should be ashamed.
Couldn't even be aired on the radio.
Disgusting.
All right. I wanted to take a minute to pay tribute to my father in that, I guess the best way to say it is that we had a broken relationship. I, frankly put, was not the son he was looking for, and he wasn't the father I was looking for. But in a broken relationship, I've realized over the years, there doesn't have to be a bad guy. It's just sometimes there are two people that don't need to be in the same room together. My father was a spectacular human being. He got his bachelor's degree in agriculture from Auburn. his master's degree from the University of Miami, and he was a bank president. He would go to 5 banks one day a week. Imagine how that must have been. But the broken part comes in that he wanted the same thing for me. He wanted college degrees and suits, and he wanted me to work in the business world. And I'm actually lucky in that I realized at a very early age that that was not for me. That's not what I wanted. And so I pushed back, and that caused dissension in the ranks. Years later, I always wanted my father, who I loved dearly, I always wanted him to be proud of me. And because I didn't want to become what he wanted, that seemed far-fetched. Many, many years down the road, I was in my radio career, and my goal was to make it to major market, which obviously I did. But to do that, you've got to move town to town. Each new job every year or 2 years is hopefully a market larger for a little more money. And I had been working on my air quote act on AM, and this was 82, and all the kids were listening to FM. So my next job landed me in Montgomery, Alabama, which was the state capital. And I started doing my afternoon show, and it was a huge smash. I was a star. I couldn't go to the mall. It would cause a problem. My father also happened to be living in Montgomery at that time. He now had taken a job with the state as the head of land development. And he had a chance to see me become successful. And it made him very, very proud. And I knew that because he was now proud, I knew it would be a big thing for him if I had him on the radio on his birthday. And we chatted about whatever. And then I said to him at the end, I said, Luther, let me play you a birthday song. What do you want to hear? And he said, well, you don't have the kind of songs I like. And I said, well, try me. I got a lot of songs. And he said, I kind of like that Bridge Over Troubled Water. So I played it for him.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I would dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, I
shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine. Oh, if you need a friend, I'm sailing right behind. Yeah, like a bridge over troubled water. I will ease your mind like a bridge over troubled water. I will ease your mind.
If you just joined us, I'm speaking about my relationship with my father, who was an extremely successful man. He was a World War II veteran. He was in the Navy. He was at Pearl Harbor when the Japanese bombed. He stood on the deck of the Maryland and he watched the Arizona burn and roll into the water. So years later, I was living in California when the movie Pearl Harbor was about to come out, the Ben Affleck film. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if Matthew and I, who was 12 at the time, flew to Alabama and we took him to see this movie. So I called him and he said, yeah, that'd be great. I said, we're going to see it. So I'm going to come take you. Don't see it. So Matt and I flew. We got to the hotel. I called him. I said, okay, so there's a screening tomorrow at 2. We'll pick you up. We'll go to lunch and we'll see the movie together. Grandfather, father and son. How great could it be? And he said, yeah, I'd like to see it again. I'm embarrassed to this day about the way I reacted because I hung up on him and I refused to see the film. We had flown across the country for nothing. And in light, I shouldn't have done that. The next morning, excuse me. Come on. The next morning, Matt and I were having breakfast. We were speaking. And Matt put his fork down and he said, you know that you came here for more reasons than just to show him a movie. You came here to clear the air and to say goodbye. And you need to go do that. So I stood up, I said, let's go. And Matt said, not me. You. So I went. I'm sorry. Hang on just a second. I went, and he continued to apologize for seeing the movie. And again, I feel badly about the way I reacted. We went outside. We were sitting on the patio, which, by the way, he built. And we're not talking. And so I said something like, I wish we could have had a better relationship. And he then told me a story that I remembered the incident, but I'd never heard his side of it. I was very much into chores. I had to cut the grass and wash the cars and polish his shoes and take out the trash. And one day he told me to rake the leaves. We had 50 trees in our yard. I knew I couldn't do it, so I didn't. He woke me up on a Saturday morning and he said sternly, rake the leaves. So I got out there and I worked at it. I'd gotten about an eighth of the yard done and there was no way I was going to move it. It just was too heavy. I heard the side door open and close and it was him. He came out and got a rake and tried to help me. And even with the two of us working at it, we couldn't budge this pile. So my father said kind of to himself, let's burn them. And he told me that as we both stood there watching the smoke curl into the sky, that our relationship went with it. I'd never heard that. And as I've thought about that over the years, I think what happened is that he was embarrassed that he would ever think that an 11 or 12-year-old kid could have done that by themselves. And he was incapable of sharing his emotions by saying something like, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. That would have been so great. But he just wasn't capable of that. 6 months later, he passed away due to a massive heart attack. And my mother and sister were already gone, so it was me that dealt with it. I flew across the country, and I was sitting with the funeral director, and I said, "My father is a veteran. He receives a military funeral." The director said, "I'll get right on that." A couple of days later, he called me, and he said, "Due to problems, we can't get enough people together to do the military funeral." I was not without influence, so I made some phone calls. My father got what he deserved. I'm not sure if you've ever seen a military funeral, but the 21-gun salute, the playing of taps over a horn, and then six guys standing there, they lift the flag that's on the casket, and they fold it into a military triangle, and they give it to next of kin. And I'm crying, and the guy is walking toward me, so I stood up, and he walked past me and gave the flag to my father's attorney. Now, this wasn't a vindictive thing on my father. He would have never done that. He wasn't that kind of person. It was just a glitch in the paperwork. He got the flag. I didn't. And it almost seems apropos to a degree that that would have been the case. Luther, I have always loved you and cared deeply for you. And I pale in comparison to the many great things that you did. But I do want you to know that I have always had you in my heart, regardless of the broken relationship that we experienced. I think of you often, and I appreciate what it is that you gave me. My sense of humor came from you. My work ethic came from you. And the inheritance that I got, and I never had a chance, obviously, to tell you this, but the inheritance that I got sent all of your kids to college. You paid for your grandkids' college degree. That was you. I also have parented my kids in many ways, things that I learned from you. So on this Father's Day, please know that I'm with you and that I love you, and rest in peace.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
So we now join Todd Donahoe with sports, and the Dodgers are winners.
Yeah, Mark, and thank you for strategically placing sports after your Father's Day tribute, too, okay? So I'll try to get through this.
Follow but let that. Me just
you echoed a lot of thoughts for a lot of sons and daughters as they looked at their fathers, because my dad, too, was a World War II vet. He passed away 3.5 years ago. It was a complicated relationship at times. But I have a picture. I'm looking at his picture right now at my desk right here. I got a picture of him. I look at him every day while I'm doing the sports. I think of him every day as well, too. And those of you who have fathers whom you aren't, let's say, quite right with, get right with them before they go. And because you'll think about them every day after they're gone. So
it's true.
Anyway. All right. Now on to baseball, and the Dodgers 3-2 winners over Arizona. Kershaw, 10-1 of the season, 7 1/3 innings pitch, gave up 2 runs, 11 strikeouts, but he walked 7. My goodness. He had that 20-1 walk ratio. This will hurt that a little bit. The Angels 10-2 winners over the Twins, CJ Cron and Jet Banny, 3 runs batted in each. So the Angels and Dodgers both have won a couple games in a row. Ichiro Suzuki has done it. He has passed Pete Rose on the all-time hit list. Of course, that's if you combine his Japanese league hits and his major league hits, but he has 4,257. Rose had 4,256. I don't think anyone, though, will say that Pete Rose is not the all-time hit king. He did all of his in Major League Baseball.
Ichiro to right field and into the corner. Stanton around second, headed for third. Kemp picks it off the wall, and Ichiro with 2 hits now, 4,257.
Ichiro Suzuki is one of the most fun players to watch play the game of baseball.
The way he takes that bat and just slaps the ball and runs down the line, he's a good, quick player, stolen base. Now, had he played his entire career in the major leagues, he would have been the only player who would have had a chance to pass up Pete Rose. The Braves' Freddie Freeman hit for the cycle last night. That means he got a single, a double, a triple, and a home run. And that is rarer hitting for the cycle than a pitcher throwing a no-hitter. And, Mark, was it a preview of the World Series? The Nationals beat the Cubs last night 5-4 in 12 innings. It was a back-and-forth game. It was incredible. Jason Worth, a game-winning RBI in the bottom of the 12th. The Cubs now are 44-20, best record in the National League. I guess I should say not a World Series preview, but a National League championship preview. And the Nationals, 41-25. These are your two best teams.
Are we living in an alternate universe?
Why?
Because I don't know anything about baseball, and I know that the Cubs don't know what they're doing.
Well, even a broken clock is right every 100 years.
Yeah, there you go.
They last won in 1908, so Jane, it's been 108 years for them. By the way, the Cubs infield leads the entire All-Star balloting for the votes going on, so it'll be a lot of Cubs in the All-Star game. All right, NBA Game 6 is tonight, and it's a Golden State at Cleveland. By the way, Golden State center Andrew Bogut out for the series. He has a knee injury. And Draymond Green of the Warriors said, quote, "If I'd have played in Game 5, it'd be over." Well, Draymond, if you can just keep your hands away from LeBron's crotchal area, you'll be able to, play on. And that'll certainly be a benefit. The U.S. Open is going on right now as we speak. Actually, I think they got a little bit of a rain delay. First round, Andrew Landry is in the lead at 3-under. I'm looking at my computer here. After 11 holes. Now, Jordan Spieth is 1-under after 4, and McIlroy is 1-over after 6, and Bubba Watson is 1-over after 7. Quick, let's cut the golf so we can get rid of that sound effect. All right, now moving on to the NFL. Adrian Peterson, Vikings, he says he's Vikings running back. He says it's Super Bowl or bust. If you don't believe that the Vikings have a chance to win the Super Bowl, then get off this team right now. That's Adrian Peterson. And I love this story. Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz. Remember, he's the number two pick overall in the draft. And locked in a... He got himself locked in a bathroom of a New Jersey gas station. and he couldn't get out. So he did tweet. He said, "Praise the Lord, a guy with some garden shears and another one who knocked the door down got me out." Garden shears and a foot to the door got him out of a locked in. Let me tell you something. If he's having a hard time with New Jersey gas stations, I don't know how he's going to fare with the Philadelphia Eagles in your backfield. But he's, of course, the rookie quarterback there. And he is from North Dakota State, which brings me to my next story. I will be on the road tomorrow because Paul and I are on a weekend quest to drive to Fargo, North Dakota, because that will be our 50th state.
Wow.
We will have made all 50 states.
Numbers are right, all right. I checked them myself.
You betcha, big fella. Gonna have a great time.
And apparently there's a bench in Fargo, North Dakota that says we made it our 50th state. I guess North Dakota is the last state for a lot of folks. But
yeah,
we're going to go
if
there.
It's the last if I...
So, exactly. So tomorrow... where in the world is Todd Donahoe? I don't know where we'll be. We'll do our sports from the road, but we'll let you know how it goes.
Cool.
Hey, that does it for sports, brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Hey, Father's Day weekend is coming up, and what a great present for Dad, a car. Mark, I never bought my dad a car. In fact, he never bought me a car either, so we're even there. But anyway, go out and celebrate Father's Day weekend with a car, and don't forget, celebrate your dad, too, because as I have always said as a father, it's more important to celebrate your kids on Father's Day than to celebrate your fathers. That's it in sports.
Nah, just smoke pot and watch movies.
There you go.
Coming up at about 8:20, Andy Chanley is in the room, and we're going to enjoy some Father's Day fun with this big idiot, and that will be coming your way at 8:20. Now, joining us this morning, he was kind enough to get up at the crack of dawn and come in, host of Andy in the Afternoon, Mr. Andrew Chanley, which spent the first year of Mark in the Morning with us, and as a result, he will always be a member of the show. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
It's great to be here. It really is. It all comes back in a flood. In just a minute, I put together the top 10 corniest dad jokes of all time. I'll give you a free sample. Why did Batman get invited to dinner?
I don't know why.
He's a supper hero. What's Forrest Gump's computer password? One, Forrest, one. We'll get to those in just a second. They're all going to be that
good. There's more?
Yeah. Those are freebies. And I got to tell you, you asked me in for Father's Day week, and it just hangs on you after a while. I've got plantar fasciitis, so I have to wear these dad shoes. Mm. And I go to boot camp 3 days a week, but I still got a dad bod.
Oh,
it just hangs on you like a cheap suit, fatherhood. but it's a great job. While you were telling your story, I was thinking about my dad, and passed away 3 years ago. And I still think of them, very often. But one of my favorite stories of my dad is, you go back, it's like coming back here, everything comes back in a flood. I went after when I was 18, came back from Purdue after spending most of the semester there for fall break. It's a long weekend. Mm. And I come home, everything just seems smaller, your room and everything. Like going to, when you're in fifth grade, going to the first grade classrooms, like, how did I ever sit in those desks, And one of the things, everything seemed new, and I looked up on the wall, and he had a plaque made, and it was of the family, and it said, the Chanleys. And it had his name, first and middle name, and his birthday, and my mom, and her first and middle name, and her birthday. And then on the last of seven, there was Mary and her birthday, and Rita, and then Sarah, and so forth. I'm looking at it, and he's over there reading the paper. He has his face buried in the paper, and I said, hey, Dad, can I ask you a question? He says, yeah, well. I said, well, I'm looking at this plaque, and it just kind of dawned on me. You and Mom had Mary.
Yeah.
And then a year later, you had Rita.
Uh-huh.
Then a year and a half later, you have Sarah. And 2 years later, you have Katie. A year and a half later, you have Angie. A year and a half later, you have Joe. And then 6 years later, you have me. He said, hold it. Puts down his paper and he says, before you jump to any conclusions, I want you to know that every one of you kids was a mistake. And I just thought that was brilliant because it gives you nowhere to go. Conversation over.
Shut you down.
That was great.
Oh, God, that was great.
I'm sure he meant that we were all wonderful, happy mistakes, I actually prefer to think of it the other way. All right, you guys ready for the the 10 corniest dad jokes of all time? Stop me if you've... no, don't. Actually, stop me. But I'm sure you've heard a couple of these before because they're gems. Starting at number 10. No drum roll or anything? Good God.
I don't have any timpani ready.
Don't pander. Number 10. What did the snail say while riding on the turtle's back?
Mm.
You have to know this one.
Whee! Oh, God.
Number 9. How do you make holy water?
Mm.
You boil the hell out of it. Huh? Once again, it's the top 10 corniest dad jokes of all time. They're just awful jokes that dads tell. Number 8, a banana walks into a bar and orders a beer. Bartender says, sorry, we don't serve food here. Hello? Is this thing on? You guys all come in the same car?
I wasn't sure that the joke was over, so I was delayed in my
Number 7. Some of these require a little bit of they're like onions. They come to you in layers.
That's right.
Number 7.
That last one sure did.
Number 7. Do you like whiteboards?
Mm.
I think they're remarkable.
Oh, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks, Jackie. Appreciate it. Number 6. The corniest dad jokes of all time. Number 6. How do you tell the difference between a frog and a horny toad?
Don't know how.
A frog says, ribbit, ribbit. A horny toad says, rub it, rub it. I found these on the internet.
Shocking.
Top 10 corniest dad jokes of all time. Number 5. Why can't you hear a pterodactyl in the bathroom?
Hmm.
Because his pee is silent.
I might be borrowing that one.
Number 4, top 10 corniest dad jokes of all time. Two peanuts were walking down the street. One was assaulted. Sounded just like that. The top 10 corniest dad jokes of all time. Number 3, what time did the man go to the dentist? 2:30.
It's a grad family favorite.
Mm-hmm. Once again, top 10 corniest dad jokes of all time. And me repeating that makes it better. What does an octogenarian pirate say?
Don't know.
Aye, matey. I'm 80.
I get it.
I'm 80.
I thought it was going to be arthritis.
Who's putting this together, Gina?
Sorry.
Top 10 corniest. I'm a dad. I'm a professional. Top 10 corniest dad jokes of all time. And number one, did you hear about the guy who invented Tic Tacs? I heard he made a mint.
So, Andy, what is on tap for Father's Day at your joint?
Well, in a typical dad way, like a Clark Griswold dad way, I guess, I bought one of those play sets, you know, those wooden play sets.
Oh, sure. Oh, God.
That have 6,000 parts.
Oh.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And so the kit that's sitting on the back patio in four huge boxes, and I have to put it together, and from what I hear... this weekend, it's going to be 108 degrees. So I'm going to die.
Oh, dude. Oh, God.
That's how I'm going to spend the... Happy
Father's Day, Andy.
Thanks, buddy. What about you?
I guess we're going to the movie. If Linda feels well enough, we're going to go to the movie.
See, it's air-conditioned, at least, in the movie. Oh, by the way, this weekend, my buddy... Ross and Thurber directed this movie, Intelligence.
Central Intelligence.
Central Intelligence.
That's the one we're going to see.
Yeah, my buddy did the movie. Everybody, if you're going to flip a coin this weekend, it's two different movies that you can pick. Pick that one.
And it has the best tagline of all time on the poster.
It really does. It has Kevin Hart in it and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
So it says, all you need is a little heart and a big Johnson.
Let us figure out what's happening in the world of trending. Here is Miss Grad.
Well, basketball player Pau Gasol says he's considering freezing his sperm in order to go to the Olympics in Rio and protect himself from possible effects of the Zika virus. Speculation is kicking up over who Donald Trump might pick as his running mate for the presidential race. Some of the possibilities include Newt Gingrich, Chris Christie, and entrepreneur Mark Cuban. And Shanghai Disneyland is now up and running. The $5.5 billion project is said to be the biggest theme park in China. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, a very special public service announcement from Mark Thompson and Andy Chanley. But first, Prince. This is Mark in the Morning.
Prince. Andy Chanley from Andy in the Afternoon is joining us today for Shenanigans, Hijinks, and Monkey Shines.
By the way, I'm disappointed. On the way in here, I came in here fully expecting to hear some penis puns, and I haven't heard one.
There's not one I can think of that I can say that Mikey's not going to dump.
Well, during a commercial break, at least.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, okay, next time. Okay.
Now, I can tell you, of course, Andy was with us for the first year of this show, and one of the things...
Was it only a year? It really seemed like longer.
It was about a year.
Okay.
There are certain days that did feel like a year. But one of the things I got addicted to, like crack cocaine, is when I would say something vile and Andy would get ticked. He would throw his head back and he was out for 10 minutes. Yeah. We could not continue the show. So I put together the Father's Day PSA, and the one request when I sent it to Danny was not let Andy read it, not prior. So if Andy stumbles through this, forgive him because he has not seen it. Danny's about to hand it to him. Go ahead and give it to him. And this now is the Father's Day PSA. Hey, kids. Are you excited about Father's Day? Have you decided what you're going to get your dad? Maybe a tie or a gift card?
Well, you see, your daddy doesn't want any of that crap. What he really wants is to spend some special time with your mother.
That's right. If you really want to give your dad exactly what he wants for Father's Day, you should leave the house for a really long time and don't try to call either.
And since there are still a few days before Father's Day, help your dad out and have mommy run around the house a few times so she can sweat off some of that fat she picked up. She no longer has ankles. Her legs go straight from her knees down to her feet.
Father's Day is a special time for your dad, and all he wants is to make the beast with two backs with your mommy.
Picture it. That's right. Mommy and daddy want to experience some alone time, the same kind of alone time they used to enjoy until you were born and you ruined everything.
And Daddy is probably going to have to put on a little porn since your mommy is nowhere near as hot as she used to be. Maybe something with Ginger Lynn in her prime.
So this Father's Day, give your dad what he really wants. Your mother.
This has been a public service for stupid kids who don't know their place and who actually think their dad wants that ridiculous paper plate with macaroni glued on it that you made at school. Jesus Christ, get over yourself.
You know, Silas does great artwork at school. It's just been fantastic. And brings something home. Like, you know, he was going to preschool Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We bring something new home every week. And we had a plan of, like, taking a picture of every single thing so that we could remember it years from now. Yeah, we never got around to doing that.
One of the things, and this is going to be a massive project, but when we first had kids, this was in the day when a video camera was like as big as the television video cameras they use now. Right. And so we started videotaping everything. One of these days, I'm going to get a professional editing thing and go through and get...
They're called people.
I'm going to go through and get the good parts of these videos and put together a Matt tape, an Amy tape, and a Katie tape. But it's going to be... It's thousands and thousands of hours of just sitting there looking at crap.
Mark, true or false, everyone was asleep or sick of being filmed by you, so one Christmas you spent an hour filming a tree?
Look, I'm a creative, and I had video cameras over the years where you could be on an image of something, and you could take a picture of it, and then you could fade it out. And I would spend way too much time doing that, thinking it was going to be great, and the kids hated it. Absolutely hated it. I want to tell a quick story from a Christmas Eve. This is our first year in California, and we were renting a house in Northridge. And this was back in the day of the mullet. And party in the back, business up front. Yeah. And I would go spend seven hours.
Nobody rocked a mullet better than you, bro.
Oh, dude, I worked it. I would spend 7 hours at the hair salon getting all this done. And so you get it just right, and then you'd spray it down with hairspray and that whole thing. So it's Christmas Eve. Matt's asleep. Matt was maybe one. Linda's in bed. And I'm up alone drinking and watching A Christmas Carol. And I'm pretty plowed. And the mirror, the wall to my left of the living room was a mirror. It was a complete mirror. Uh-huh. And so I'm watching TV. I took a sip of scotch, and there's a candle burning to my left, and I'm going to bend over. I got my cigarette in my mouth, and I'm going to bend over and light it. So I light it, and I'm back to watching TV, and I hear something. It's like, and then I smell, and I look in the mirror, and my hair is on fire from all the hairspray. And this is what my drunk ass did. I just reached up, I put it out, and I went right back to watching TV.
Wow!
The next day, there was just a hole in my hair.
So you gave a beautiful tribute a few minutes back, Mark, about your father, Luther, and there was not a dry eye in the house, including your daughter, who had to run out of the room. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of comments pouring in on Facebook. We're getting tons of emails right now. I thought I would just echo some of our sentiments with some of our listeners and let you know how they felt. Mm. Well, Yolanda says, great tribute. Way to make a girl cry on her way to work, Mark. I know about rocky relationships with both father and son. Loved your story, and I'm sure your father does too. Okay, this wasn't even about me. Here we go. Rita, Mark, you had me in tears on the freeway. No matter what, we all loved our fathers. I was lucky and had the best and was thankful every day with him. Don't know how you got through that on the air, but it was perfect.
Maybe alternate them with penis puns.
Karen, brought me to tears. I also have an estranged relationship with my father. I get it. Thank you for the beautiful words. Lydia said, listen to many Luther stories through all the years on Mark and Brian, but this was the most touching. Mark, you are wonderful. That's from Lydia. We didn't say it. Robert says, very moving. Mark reminded me of the relationship with my father, which was, in a word, complicated. Very powerful stuff. Well done. Mark, this was definitely from the heart. So it's hard to see the numbers on a spreadsheet when there are tears in your eyes. So this goes on and on. You have to keep refreshing the comments. There's hundreds of them. A big theme in this is, boy, do I get it. I have the same relationship, and I could really relate. And people wanted to thank you for putting your voice to that.
Thank you. And that was the reason that I did it. I have a unique relationship with the people that enjoy what it is that we do. And I've always shared things that I feel strongly about. And the only reason that I did that was knowing that there was a certain percentage of people that can completely relate to it.
Absolutely.
I really almost balked. I almost just didn't do it because it's just such a downer. But when you hear those nice comments like that, you realize you did the right thing.
Well, it's draining to share those kinds of personal
it's
stories.
Easier to not do it than do it.
I got
to
tell you, though, when you played the song for Luther, Bridge Over Troubled Water, and then you played the Elvis version of that, I swear to God, I thought you were going to come back from that and say that he said, you know, I prefer the Simon and Garfunkel version. Just something about it.
And while we're doing business, Gina, you're out and about tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, that's right. I am I'm in Simi Valley. I'm kicking off what, the hottest weekend of the entire decade?
Okay. Yeah.
Simi Valley, the Vons.
That's the place to be.
Yeah. Oh God. That's going to be fun, though. It's we're going to be up at the Vons, 1855 East Cochrane Street, Simi Valley, California, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. That is tomorrow. I'm going to be there with ABC. We're going to do Feed SoCal Hunger Initiative. Bring a non-perishable food item, or just for $5, you can get a pre-filled bag. We're going to stuff my Subaru Crosstrek full of food for people who need it, and I'll come take pictures, and we'll take selfies, and I'll give you hugs, whether you want them or not, and it'll be really fun. 4:30 to 6:30, Vons in Simi Valley.
Or just strap on a canteen and a pith helmet and go in and walk, stumble around in the air conditioning for an hour.
According to a survey by lingerie brand Bluebella, 52% of couples admit that they did not have sex on their wedding night. The women surveyed said it didn't happen because they were too tired, too drunk, or traveling for their honeymoon. Guys said they were either too drunk or didn't want to stop partying with their friends.
Damn.
Now, when Linda and I got married, I only got one day off, which was Monday. We got married on Friday or Saturday. And then we checked. I didn't have any money. We checked into the cheapest hotel that there was. And the next day we were going to drive to Disney World and spend 2 days there. So this was a complete dump. Now, a week prior, I was at the video store with my buddy. And a guy was in there, and he sold lingerie out of the trunk of his car. So I bought some.
But only the best.
Oh, it was $10. All right, so...
Did Linda get any?
Yes, okay. Yes. But that's the story.
Thank you.
So I give Linda the lingerie, and she looks at me like, do you want me to put this on? So I gave it to her. She goes into the bathroom to put it on. And there is a vibrating bed in this dump of a hotel room. So I ran down to the office to get change and for quarters. Yeah. And I put them in. Linda comes out, and I'm laying on this I mean, it is going. It was kind of busted. She came walking out with this lingerie on, and it was this red thing that did not fit her. And right here, both her boobs were just sticking straight out of it. It was hysterical. And she said, listen, I'm tired and we've got to drive tomorrow. Maybe we can do this tomorrow when we get to Disney World. And I said, no, that's a bad precedence. We got to knock it out. So with her wearing this red lingerie with her boobs sticking straight out at me on a vibrating bed that did not stop for 2 hours, by the way, we did it. We
you're
got
a hero,
it done.
Mark. Wow. Really well done. That's great. You know, my favorite thing, you've said this recently, and I've been thinking about it the last couple days, when you said when Linda first met you, flat broke, she cut up all your credit cards, you had to eat tomato sandwiches, get yourself out of debt, and what does she say now? You're the best investment I ever made.
Yeah, we were so broke that we literally had no money, and so she got together stuff that she owned and took it to the Hawk shop. so that we would have money. And that was when I told her, that was when she told me, best investment I ever made. Hey, go at it, girl. All right, you can imagine the horror. The lion show at the Oregon Zoo in Portland generally draws oohs and ahs from the crowd. Monday's audience response included screams and cries at the end of a lion's tail, which was accidentally sheared off.
Okay. God.
I've got a
no.
tiger by
no.
the tail that's playing.
Kids were watching a big cat training session when the trainer introduced a lion named Zawadi. The big cat entered the stage through a hydraulic door, but apparently he didn't walk far enough. The door closed on the end of his tail, cutting it off. Zawadi let out a roar. The trainer continued on with the show until the audience members made her aware that the lion's tail was bleeding a lot. The trainer remained calm and told the audience that a vet would take a look at it.
Aren't zoos fun, kids?
Yay!
Animals just always seem to be having a good time there.
So now, Andy, you and Laura, you've got two. You've got Silas and Viv.
Right.
Is that it? Are you
doing more? Oh, God.
Yeah, could you do this again?
No, no. I love my kids so dearly, and I can't imagine life without them. And, like, you know, we'll still be sitting around looking at the two of them playing and having a good time and say, can you believe we have kids? Like, play?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. But, yeah, man, I don't know how some people do. Like, my mom.
There's like a baker's dozen of you.
Having seven kids. Oh. And Laura, when she went and we visited my folks and with Silas and when he was just a few months old, and she asked her, she's like, how did you do it? How did you take care of seven kids at one time by yourself?
Wow.
She said, well, one takes up all your time. After that, it's just an economies of scale kind of thing. But it's true. I've always said if we wanted to invade another country, don't take the infantry. Don't take, howitzers and stuff. Just take toddlers.
Yeah.
A toddler can occupy a room full of people so easily. It's
Did
amazing.
Vivian ever start sleeping?
She sleeps for crap. No, she's it's we Silas would he loved all the carnal pleasures. He loved to eat and he loved to sleep. It's like he slept 12 hours a night from when he was 4 months old.
Wow.
He was just all that was settled. But now she is just she'll sleep for like an hour and she stars out. She refuses to sleep in her room. Stars out in the middle of our bed. We got a California king, and this toddler takes up the middle. 5/6 of the bed. And she has her feet in my back all night long. I sleep on 9 inches of the bed and I can't turn towards her or she'll get stimulated and like see my face and want to play with me in the middle of the night. She's wired. She wants to party. And so I have to sleep on my right side with my back to her and a pillow over my head. It's the only way I can get any sleep.
Comfy.
He is host of Andy in the Afternoon with Christian Hand. Andrew, I so thoroughly enjoyed the time this morning.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you.
Hey, who's this? Who's this?
Stonesman. Let's find out what's trending in the world. Here is Miss Trending herself, Gina Grad.
Well, in the world of gossip, 2 weeks of being single seemed to be all Taylor Swift could take. She's now hooked up with British actor Tom Hiddleston. You may remember, Mark, I'm sure you remember, this was simply everywhere. At last month's Met Gala, Tom and Taylor were dancing together to Beyoncé's Crazy in Love. There was a Vine video. Everybody saw it. Now, there's a little bit of foreshadowing because photographers captured the new couple in Rhode Island on Tuesday during a romantic walk on the beach. They were hugging, they were kissing, they were doing all this kind of stuff. An eyewitness told The Sun UK they looked like any young couple madly in love without a care in the world.
Yeah, but Taylor, sweetie, does it matter? Because you can't keep a man. you can't.
Yeah, so does nobody care? They just want their 5 minutes with her so they'll write a song. She'll write a song about him, or what's the vibe?
I don't know what happens. I mean, here we've got one of the most talented. I mean, she writes all of her own songs.
Yeah.
And mega talented, mega rich. So I don't know what goes on. Maybe she's like Terry Polo. She doesn't know how to choose the right guy. Well, but yeah. She's a revolving door, that girl.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, she's always in the news for doing something charitable or doing something nice for a fan. And she's sort of touted as the nicest celebrity on the face of the planet. So why is there a group of, I don't know, eight dudes that would strongly disagree with that? I don't get it. I don't know.
I don't either, nor do I.
All right. Meanwhile, this news is just for me today. Big full eyebrows, they're back in. Yeah, right. You know the Brooke Shields vibe, that whole thing. Yes! And cosmetic surgery is here to the rescue. Eyebrow hair transplants are now a thing, and they are seriously growing in popularity. I would love one of these. But here's the problem. First of all, you can't expect results right away. The hair is going to fall out after 3 weeks, and then it won't start growing again for another few months. And because the head hair follicles, you need to trim them regularly, or they're going to grow out like hair on your head.
Good God.
I'd still do it, though.
Good God.
You get a sponsor out of it.
Well, then do it and let them grow really, really long. That's funny.
I'm Andy Rooney. And I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is free.
Okay, I was just telling Gina, this has been the quickest week. I just realized it's Thursday. Tomorrow's Friday, which means weekend. So good. First and foremost, what do we have for the 10 at 10?
Okay, well, Uncle Joe's on vacation. Cynthia Fox will be in, so, you know, that'll be a great time there with Cynthia. The year the Three Amigos came out, Mark.
I love that movie.
I never saw it.
Oh, it's so great. I actually watched it like a week ago, 86?
There you go.
Yeah.
1986 on Uncle Joe's 10 at 10. Mark?
Tomorrow, we will enjoy 5 seconds for $25. Everybody's talking about Gina will speak. It's the Friday before Father's Day. Gina will speak with her father, Steve Grad, and then something's going on. All my kids are going to be on the show, so, and I don't know what that's about. Mikey!
I need a devil, and I need to run with it. Running with the Devil, Van Halen. I'm Mark in the Morning.
Oh, sure, podcasting is great, but have you heard about this new invention that puts Mark in the Morning directly in your car each weekday morning? Yeah, it's called FM radio. And you'll find Mark in the Morning there on 100.3 FM in Southern California. Thanks for listening.